It's good to see all of you this morning. Lord bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I want to thank you, Father, for the blessing it is to be in your house. And Father, like Olin said, it is a privilege to be able to have a Bible in our hand. It's a privilege that we're able to read our Bibles. So many in the world would love to even have a Bible. And we have, some of us have so many of them, different translations, etc., in our homes and access to those things. So thank you for the truth of your word, the sweetness of your word, the power of your word, and the promise that your word will never go out and come back void. You will always work good through your word. And I praise you for that, and I ask you to do the same here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we celebrated the fact that the great I Am died and rose back to life to provide us salvation and new life in him, right? Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. This week I want to focus a little bit more on that new life in him. Because we're talking about spring, we're talking about the flowers, we're talking about creation, we're talking about the wonder of that newness of life that comes in springtime, if you will. So nature shows the newness of life every spring, right? The flowers start coming out, the trees start budding out, the poppies are on the side of the hill, the yellow mustard's everywhere, the purple flowers. I love that. In our area in particular, the mountains can be so beautiful. It all starts to come out, but it represents new life, springing to new life. We see the dead of winter barrenness change into the newness of life each spring. But I think it's a message from God. It's a testimony of God to us that we are to live the new life. Not the barren life, but the new life. Not the dead life, but the living life in God. So God has taken every believer from a state of spiritual deadness to a new spiritual life in him. Are you excited about the reality that we have a new spiritual life in Christ? I mean, just let me rephrase that. Without Jesus in our life, we have no spiritual life. Without Jesus in our life, obviously we have no relationship with him. Without Jesus in our life, he can't show us his ways that are contrary to the way of the world. Without Jesus in our life, we don't experience the wonder and the power and the grace and the work of God's love and mercy in each of our lives. And so we can praise God for the new life that we have in him, because it's different than who we are when we didn't know him. And it's different than the way of the world, but it's newness. It's the newness of life. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10 says, "At one time you were in the dark, but now you are in the light because of what the Lord has done. Live like children of light. One time we were lost, but now because we receive Christ as our Savior, we have the light. But it's up to us to not bury that light, but allow that light to be seen by how close we walk with the Lord. The light produces what is completely good, right, and true. Find out what pleases the Lord." I love that. You know, just know what pleases the Lord. Let the light show you. God will direct us in the way he'd have us to go. Scripture tells us that he is conforming each of us into his image. That doesn't mean when we get to heaven, we're all going to look like Jesus. Bunch of clones. No, we're talking about his character. We're talking about his values. We're talking about his thinking. We're going to be changed into him, to be more like him in our character that will reflect him. We're gaining characteristics right now, aren't we, that reflect the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in our lives. Do you see yourself in your relationship with God? Look at your relationship with God, and how do you see Jesus in your life? And if you see Jesus in your life, that's God changing your character from the old dead self into the new self, the new person in Jesus. So as we continue to grow in Christ and grow, not in knowledge per se, I mean, knowledge is good, but I'm talking about personal life changing that reflects the character of Jesus. That's Jesus changing us to be in the image of his Son. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "We show the power of the Lord to other people, It is like God has removed a cloth from over our faces. He is changing us so that we become more and more like Him. We show how great God is more and more clearly. It is the Lord who does all this by the work of His Spirit. So that's what I was explaining to the children, that the closer they are to Christ, like us, the more they're going to see God work through them. People are going to see Jesus in them, and people will see Jesus in us, and they'll see Jesus in us. Get that? The character of Jesus is what, and that character continues to be developed in Him. And it's important for us to rejoice in that, to rejoice in the fact that we have that type of relationship, that we who are sinners by nature, because of a sinful nature, can see God changing us to think like Him, to behave like Him, to understand things the way He wants us to understand things like Him, instead of in our ways or the ways of the world. So I want us to consider what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are not like that. In the previous passage, it talks about basically who you were before you knew Christ, how you lived, the things that weren't in line with God, the things that weren't right. But you are not like that. Why? Because now we're new. We're brand new people. We're believers in Christ. We no longer have to yield to the old self. We can learn to live the new self, right? You are a special group of people that God has chosen. What a wonderful privilege. You serve God like priests who serve a king. We don't think of ourselves as priests that serve a king, but a priest is an intercessor, right? A mediator to help people come to know Jesus. That's simply us being actively involved in bearing the light and character of Jesus in our life and being used of God to touch other people's lives for Him. So we have that wonderful privilege. You are His own holy people who belong to Him. He has taken you out of the dark place of sin, and He has brought you into His great light. He has done all this so that you can tell people how great He is. When we experience Jesus and we are in His light, we know what that means. When we're in that fellowship where things are clear, where we know that our heart and our mind and our soul, or whoever we are down in our heart, is right with God, joyful in God, in that right relationship with God, then there's a realization of spiritual truth and enlightenment in our life, particularly in our relationship with Jesus. And we can rejoice in that. How great is that? These scriptures point to the unique, peculiar identity we have in Christ. Now I'm looking at two different things here in this message, and I'm praying that God the Holy Spirit will explain it better than me to your heart. Because in Christ, we know we're to become like Christ. We're not clones of Jesus, but we will be transformed into His image. We're not going to all look like Jesus in heaven, but our character will be like Jesus forever. But there's something else I want you to understand. The uniqueness of who you are will be identified in heaven as well. The uniqueness of who you are now as a believer, you're your own person, your own unique character, with your own unique traits that God designed you as. And so that's kind of like, okay, I've got Christ in me, I'm changing, I'm learning, I'm growing in Him, I'm becoming more like Christ in character and action and lifestyle. But my likes, my temperament, my behavior, somehow in its own way is unique as opposed to everybody else. I hope that makes sense. But we can't, this uniqueness of who we are in Christ is that unique fragrance I was talking about. And as we follow God, God will develop us to the fullness of the unique character or person that God has us to be in Him. And that's an exciting thing, that we can be the unique individual. You know what unique means? One of a kind. One of a kind. Unique. So as you are yourself, one of a kind, Even if you're a twin or a triplet, you're still one of a kind. Your own personality, God will use you as you yield to him in a unique way to represent him. We're transforming into Christ's character, but also as we yield our lives to him, he develops who he intends for us to be in our uniqueness. So when you look at creation, you see all the different things God created. What did he say? He said it all was good, right? But everything was different. And all of it glorified God. And that's how God wants, that's how God sees us. So these scriptures point out the unique, peculiar identity we have in Christ. But how that is revealed through our lives depends on our faithfulness to the mission, to the assignments, to the good works, and use of the gifts he's given us. In other words, we receive Christ as our Savior. Now it's up to us, obviously, to follow him. But as we follow him, he begins to reveal to us the unique gifts and abilities, purpose, mission, all the things that he has specifically for us to do. Since before the foundations of the world, he had preordained good works that you and I were to do, according to the uniqueness of who we are. You can reach somebody and your personality and your mindset and the way you think much better than I can, and vice versa. It just depends on who we're connecting with, right? And that's that part of that uniqueness of who each one of us are. For example, when God finished creating the earth, as I said, he said it was all good. Not certain parts or aspects of creation, but all of it, the sky, the moon, the sun, the stars, animals, sea life, plant life, beauty was all around. All inclusive, uniquely revealed, all of nature was considered good and glorified God. You could say, you know, I like going through the redwoods. And in the redwoods, you might see those beautiful ferns. And you smell the air. But you can also smell the wood on the redwood trees, right? But you might, if you look at the wood itself, you might say, well, that's really harsh in its own makeup and its own character. And yet you're still smelling the fragrance of the bark or the wood of the redwood tree, as opposed to maybe the fern or the ferns on the ground or the pine needles that it has or blooming flowers on the ground, each its own character, all used to reveal the glory of God. Each of us have our own character being transformed into the image of God with a uniqueness that reveals God in a unique way through all of us. And I love that. And we could sit back and we could go, okay, I'm content that God, you're going to do your work and you're going to make me into your image. That's a promise. We will be conformed into his image. But if I sit back and say, that's it, and just, you go ahead, God, do your thing. And I don't yield myself to God and allow him to develop me with the gifts and talents and abilities and the personality that he's given me, then I'm missing out on being that unique vessel that God wants me to be in the world I live in. So we have a choice to let God develop our uniqueness in him. All of nature was considered good and glorified God. Likewise, our individualities, our own abilities, how we look, our DNA, all were designed to bring him glory in our own unique way. No competition. God made us uniquely ourselves to be used to uniquely present him. Think about it another way. He knew us before the foundation of the world and said this about us in Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted and beloved. God knew who would receive him. God knew that we would be his children. God made us in our mother's womb. God uniquely created us for him. So in a real sense, God waits patiently. Listen to this. This is a statement for Kathy Goodrich. I haven't put it up yet. Oh, thanks. He prophesied of who we would be in him before we were born. Think on that for a minute. He knew us before the foundations of the world. He created us. He knew what we were going to be. But he's waiting for us to be born and have, to fulfill what God knew we were going to be. God waits patiently for the prophetic fulfillment of our creation. Do you believe God knew who you were before the foundations of the world? We do, because God said so. And so as he knew us, but he knew that when we would be born and when we would be ourselves in whatever generation we live in, he waited for that time to be fulfilled. The Greek word used in Scripture in reference to prophecies being fulfilled is pleroo. It means to make full or to fill up. In other words, a prophecy begins in a state of emptiness and ends in a state of being filled up or full. God wants to fill you up with who he intends you to be in him. See the distinction? Who God intends you to be in him. We're all in him, and he's changing us to be like him, but he wants us to be full of who he intends us to be in him. Does that make sense? I hope so. God wants to make us who he wants us to be uniquely in him, because that's that unique character, that unique fragrance, that unique aspect that God can use you and me effectively for his glory. God has specifically designed us and planned our lives and is waiting for that fulfillment. And how does that fulfilling a prophecy of our life happen? It happens when we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and of course, but look at Colossians 2, 9 and 10, which says, the whole nature of God himself lives in Christ and his human body. And because you are united with Christ, you are now complete. That's the same word as the Greek word, okay? Pleroo. He is the one who rules over everything that has power or authority. The prophecy of you has been fulfilled or made complete in Christ. Just the fact that he knew us before, and he knew our DNA, and he knew how he was going to form us in our mother's womb, and in that, we become our own individual. That's the fulfillment of that prophecy of you being born at a certain time. But that fulfillment isn't complete until we embrace him fully so he can make us completely into that person he wants us to be in our own character for him. Not just in him, but in our own character, in our own uniqueness. The prophecy of you has been fulfilled or made complete in Christ. He promised that completion of his plan for us in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, why don't I just wait for God to do it anyways, and I don't have to work so hard. I don't have to yield myself to God. But part of the growing in Christ and becoming what God wants us to be in him is essential to what God has us to be in him in eternity. The plans, the purposes that God has for us are based upon who we are now in him. How we lay the foundation in heaven for our future in eternity forward. Scripture talks about it. It's based upon how we live for him now and how he uses us then. We will see the full reality of that fulfilled prophecy about us when Christ returns. We will be that complete person that God wants us to be in him. And the word complete in Colossians 2 and Philippians 1 is the same Greek word, pleroo. Just as God fulfills his prophecies about the Messiah in end times, he fulfills our life. He fulfills our life. God said, I'm going to create, put your name there. They're going to be born in this generation. I know they're going to receive me of their own free will. And I know the plans and good works I have for them. And I know the type of person I want them to be in me. and their uniqueness and their generation and their time. And so I hope you can see the contrast between being transformed into the image of God by character of Jesus and in the uniqueness of who we are made to be in him. And that is only realized as we pursue him with all that we are. And we allow him to shape us. But it's not just sitting back. It's responding to him and what he has for us to do in joyful obedience in following him. Every life exists to find its playroo, or fulfillment. And your life can only be fulfilled with Christ the Messiah and the purpose or good works he designed for you to carry out. Do you hear that? Human beings naturally look for what's going to fulfill their life. Number one, without Jesus, you're never going to find what God created you to be. Number two, as believers, we won't be all God's called us to be in our own uniqueness unless we give ourselves completely to God and let him do the work and respond to him as he leads us to do the things and to use the gifts that he's given us. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12, it says, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to work in our life to bring him glory and to fill us up that we overflow in the joy of him. So it's a matter of us saying, okay, this is my life, or saying, no, my life is your life. It's my way, God, or it's your way, God. We have to choose that and realize that yielding to God and his way and his leadership and what he leads us to do is only going to bring glory to God and give us a filling in our life that enriches us and empowers us to be what God intended for us to be as believers in Christ, uniquely and individually. Your life is a prophecy waiting to be fulfilled, created in his image, and will be transformed to be like his son. But listen, but our uniqueness can only be found in him as we earnestly seek out and do his will in our lives. What God has for you will blow your mind. It's beyond what you thought. Scripture talks about that. He says, the things I have for you are, I think it's Jeremiah 33:3. Don't hold me to that. Where it talks about the plans that God has for us, I'm paraphrasing, are far greater than any plans we've made for ourselves. So as we follow God and the plan he foreordained for us, when we do that, we experience that fulfilling of God's work developing us into the unique character he wants us to be in him. Praise God. There's joy in that. There's adventure in that. There's overflow of the glory of God working in our lives through that. Ephesians 5:17-18 says, therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. You know, people say, how do you know God's will? Well, God has promised that if we seek him, he'll tell us what his will is. It's not an impossible reach. God wouldn't tell us to reach for his will, to know his will, if he wouldn't enable us to know his will, right? Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. I know what God's will is in my life. I've yielded myself to him. I'm listening to him. I see the promptings. I see the confirmation. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to do what he calls me to do. I'm going to grab hold firmly to what God has for me to do, to hold firm or to grasp the will of the Lord. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity, not my words, God's, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by him. What's our life like when we're so close to God that we know that God is involved in every aspect of our life, and we see him working in our life, and we see us walking with him? Is there a joy in that? Is there a fulfillment in that? Absolutely. But it takes determination to say, God, I'm going to watch and listen and follow you carefully. And it starts with me just loving you, Lord. The bottom line is, we should grow more and more and more in love with Jesus because of our walk with him. And if we find ourselves falling less and less in love with Jesus, we better catch ourselves, because we're missing the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ on our life. And be close to him. Your life is a unique prophecy. I just like that concept. Your life, my life, is a unique prophecy. Right? Waiting to be realized in him. That's cool to me. Jesus is your prophetic plereo, or fulfillment. Make Jesus and his will for your life your top priority. Then your uniqueness in Christ, as he foreordained and prophesied, will be made known to you. You are uniquely loved. You are uniquely you. You are uniquely created by God for his glory. And God has a unique path in life for you. And it doesn't matter where you're at in life. Doesn't matter what end of the spectrum of life you're on. The real young or the real old. We can always say, Lord, I just want to love you more, be in your will, and be used of you for your glory in the ways that you can use me uniquely. Right? Praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I depend on you and I trust on you, dear Holy Spirit, that the distinction between being made into the image of your Son, which you promised we will be, and the uniqueness of character of who we each are to be in you has been made clear. And I pray that you stir our hearts, Father, to have a draw, or a draw to, or a sense of, I want to know who God wants me to be in him, and find that to be very exciting and compelling. I pray you work that on our hearts, because the fullness of our life, Father, is dependent upon our relationship with you and how we follow you. So I thank you for your many, many blessings. I thank you for saving us. I thank you for being our Lord. I thank you that we have you, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that you're active in our lives and in our hearts all the time. I'm thankful that you have a purpose that's predetermined for us to follow, that we can have that fullness of life and purpose in life that you called us to have, that will fill us up and bring you, ultimately you, all glory and praise. I praise you for all of this, and I just pray that you'll help each one of us to pursue you more diligently that way, out of love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.